It hardly seems fair that nearly 80 years of a life well lived comes down to a very short time this afternoon. Dad, in one of the messages given to me in the last few days, was described as truly one of a kind. And I think that sums Dad up perfectly. A lot of kids think that they have the best dad or the best mum. I can tell you, if I had to pick a dad, I would have picked him anyway. Cav and Mike have spoken about Dad's life and the memories that he have, but there's a few that I'd like to share. Dad bought the shop off Rowe Hendry back in the 60s. So my brother and I were raised, we were shop kids. We spent a lot of time in the back of the shop. But the special times for me were Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, the whole family out there, wrapping flat out and taking cash and shoving it down into the floor safe and back out and going again. For me, it was a magic time. And that, and a great memory. The other amazing memory I have of the shop was Dad's window dressing skills. He was a master at it. His Christmas window was always special, and all the kids were always used to try and figure out how Santa moved. He did a different thing every year. His hands might be moving the reins for the reindeer sleigh and that. And it was an old turntable up above the window, well hidden away with some fishing line coming down, wired onto to Santa to do various things. It changed every year. Some of the windows that were a feature, one, he cut a branch in half and secured it to either side of the window, inside and out. The number of phone calls we had, "Hey Morrison, there's a tree branch stuck in your window. You better go and sort it." Best free advertising ever, Dad reckoned. And the other one that would have been the simplest and most effective window he ever did, when Railbrook shirts came out. So those of you of the generation that can remember having to iron all the shirts, this was the very first drip dry no iron shirt that came out. It was back in the days when shirts came boxed, not on hangers as they do today. Dad went next door to Ma Webb's and got a refrigerator, fridge carton, lined it with black fabric, propped the Railbrook shirt up on a stand with a spotlight on it, and the whole window black. At night, looked absolutely stunning, and it was the simplest and most effective window. And I know there would be a lot of people from Mangakino that would remember that window even today. There was one year that Christmas Eve was actually on a Friday. Now, the shop in those days was 9 o'clock closing. Christmas Eve was a whole other kettle of fish. Normally, we'd be lucky to shut the doors by 11. There was one year we all went to Mass, and we're up singing a hymn and everything, and there was this beautiful voice, and I was looking around trying to see who it was. I was standing there, my brother and I were standing there between Mum and Dad, and I looked up and I realised the voice was coming from my father. And I remember asking him, and way back when, one of his relatives was actually going to pay for him to have lessons with Dame Sister Mary Leo. They thought he could be an international tenor. I'm sorry for the dad that he didn't get to be a tenor. I'm damn glad that he got to be a shoppie and a car dealer and be our dad. One of my travels, I ended up in Tiananmen Square on the first anniversary of the massacre. And I rang home from a phone box in Tiananmen Square. And it was something like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning at home, and the folks got out of bed and they talked to me and asked me how I'd enjoyed, you know, hoofing around China and everything. And Mum said to me, "Well, where are you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm in Tiananmen Square. You know, there wasn't any soldiers here a month ago, but now that it's the first anniversary, there's squads marching up and down everywhere." And anyway, we finished the phone call and hung up. And Dad told me, he said, "Mum stood there and shook her head and said, 'That girl is going to be the death of me.'" And Dad said, "Nah, she'll be all right. She's got brains enough to get herself into trouble and brains enough to get herself out. She'll be fine. She'll ring if she's not." When I was living in England and Mum and Dad came over to do a little bit of, you know, tripping around Europe and that, the highlight was going and following the Tour de France for a while. Dad has been an avid cycling fan since his days as a cyclist himself, and it was an absolute highlight for him and for all of us to be able to do that. The other big highlight while we were overseas was to go to Ireland to find Dad's family. His mother came out here, and as far as Dad and anybody knew, had lost contact with the family back in Ireland. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we tracked them down, and as soon as Lizzie walked in, we knew we'd found the right family. She was a spitting image of Nana, and she walked straight over to Dad and said, "You're Maggie G's little boy." Dad was absolutely made up to have a connection with the Irish family that he'd never known about, other than a few stories, you know, from his mum. I think the one and only thing I won't miss about Dad is when he cooked those damned pig's trotters. When he got too ill to do any cooking, I said to him, "I love you dearly, Dad, but I don't know whether I love you enough to cook those damn things." And that, and he looked at me and he winked and he smiled and he said, "Yeah, you do." He said he was sorry that Mum went first and everything, but he said it was actually right, that God intended man should be on top. And I told him that was a little more information than a daughter needed to know. And he chuckled away quite happily. Dad's last two words on Sunday morning meant something to both my brother and I. Whether he planned to say it, but the two words were something that only Michael and I would know and understand, and it was absolutely the right thing that he said. My wish for you all is that you could have a dad that was as special as mine was.